sports, politics, life. Amazing Garage Floors presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at AmazingGarageFloors.net.
I don't know about you, but for me, there's nothing quite as fun as Dems gone wild. We could do a whole series on this, but when they start to lose their minds and crazy things start to happen within the Democrat Party and they start saying things that get our attention in a positive way for conservatives in America, I get really excited. For me, it's really fun. And there was a lot of that this weekend. There's turmoil and mayhem everywhere with Democrats, and we love that. It's not the kind of fake turmoil like arresting Trump in Fulton County, Georgia, and things like that. It's real, and they feel it, and they know it. And this happened in 1980 after a Jimmy Carter presidency, and it's happening right now in the United States, and you can see it in so many different places. Bernie Sanders gave a speech over the weekend that was really remarkable into the way they see things and the way they think. We sit here a lot and think, uh-oh, we're losing. The Democrats have all the control, all the power. They're arresting Trump. They're doing all these things, and we feel terrible about the direction of the country. We watch open borders. We see all kinds of silly policies. We're not a very serious country. We're wasting money in Ukraine. We do all kinds of things that really, really bother us. But every now and then, a Democrat will step up and show us exactly what they are thinking and feeling. And Bernie Sanders did that this weekend. He gave a speech and he was outraged, simply saying, I don't understand what's going on in America and how this is happening. That the working class is now Republican. He was lamenting the fact that workers, regular working folks, now identify more as conservative than liberal. I've thought this my whole life. I grew up in a working class household. My dad was a union man, Local 101, shout out to Local 101 here in Kansas City, operating engineers. And I always thought this was weird as I was learning about politics and became a Ronald Reagan. I'm a Reaganite. That's where I got it all. Ronald Reagan for me was everything. And I would be like, well, why do all these guys in this union vote for Democrats? I never understood it. And I've always sort of thought working people and conservatism go hand in hand. Bernie Sanders is freaked out that this has switched and the working class now identifies as Republican. He also mentioned Latino voters. He said, we're losing the working class voters. Latino, new polling this last week, Latino votes have swung 20% toward conservatives, toward Republicans. Since Joe Biden was elected president, Latino, Hispanic votes in America, in polling, has moved 20 points toward Republicans. The black vote is clearly shifting. They're seeing that as well. Trump made huge gains with black voters, and the thing continues to shift. We've seen the videos. We've seen all the things that of the people on of the black Americans that love Trump and support Trump. We've seen him wherever he goes, wherever he's arrested. We're seeing all these videos. It's happening, folks. People are waking up and seeing what Democrats are all about. They can't keep shoving this stuff in our faces and get away with it. They can't. From things as simple as trying to require you to wear a mask to as massive as the crime in this country, from the staggering number of illegal people that are coming in and the crunches that puts on our cities overflooded with these people. Even in sanctuary cities and liberal places now, the Democrats are like, whoa, take these people back, send them back to Texas, send them back to Arizona. It's crazy. When Bernie Sanders is giving a speech saying, we're losing everyone here, we're losing white working class, we're losing Hispanic voters, we're losing black voters, it is a warning shot from Bernie Sanders. We're just a little over a year out from the election, and if these trends continue, and there's no sign that they're slowing down, it will only get worse over the next year, it'll just be a beatdown. If Republicans make inroads, if Republicans take over, and I think they've pretty much taken over the working class, if you take over the white working class, then you make a 20-point gain with Hispanic voters, and maybe a double-digit gain with black voters, How does Biden win? What's the road to victory? It can't be seen. And the only thing that I question on all of this is it really the policy, or are a lot of people saying this stuff because they're looking at Joe Biden and saying, no, thanks. I can't. It's a senile old man. I'm not voting for him and I'm out, which is fine if that's the way they are. But I would like them philosophically to be opposed to what the Biden administration is doing, not just opposed to the man that is inept. We'll take it any way we can get it in November of 24. But it would be great if these people are actually waking up, seeing the light and going, uh-oh, these policies are bad for America. And these people want to control us. And we don't like that. We want to be free. And we want to live our own lives without government interference. I think most people are like that. And they're waking up to this. It happened after Jimmy Carter. It's happening with Joe Biden. And Bernie Sanders is standing on the mountaintop screaming, we are losing it all, folks. Bernie, there's no answer. The answer is conservatism. The answer is the Constitution. The answer is freedom and liberty and less government. Your way is the wrong way. People won't like that in the end. There's also a split camp within the party over what's going on with the presidential race. How can the Democrat Party stand by and allow Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, to debate Ron DeSantis on television? Now, they haven't set a date yet, and they're still working out the details of the format, but it looks like Sean Hannity is going to host a debate between Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis. Now, for DeSantis, this is a smart play. This is his it's his Hail Mary. It's his chance to go and be with somebody near his own age and say, look, forget Biden and Trump, look at us. Newsom actually helps DeSantis if they get on the stage together. Maybe it's a precursor to 2028, but maybe it's more than that. DeSantis is running now. Newsom may be running now. We don't really know. A spokesperson, unidentified, close to the White House, close to the president, said of Gavin Newsom and his planned debate with Ron DeSantis, quote, it's disrespectful. Joe Biden is running with Kamala Harris, unquote. There are others within the camp that say we like to have surrogates out there speaking the good word of liberalism and all this other stuff. I don't know. It's bad for business. There's no question about it. If Joe Biden is actually running for president, Gavin Newsom debating Ron DeSantis is bad for business. It's bad for the Democrats. By the way, Ron DeSantis will chew up Gavin Newsom on multiple subjects in that debate, because if Newsom comes in and tries to debate anything on policy, it goes back to what I just said about Bernie Sanders. They can't win that. The only thing they can do is convince you that they're better people, not racist, better this, better that. It's never their policies. They don't go out and campaign for open borders. They don't go out and campaign for wars and funding wars. They don't do this. They don't go campaign for more government spending and higher taxes. You can't go campaign on that stuff. All you can do is go campaign and look at the other guy and say, you're a racist. You're this or you're that. You're a hater. You're transphobic. You're this, you're that. I'm better than you. That's all they got. And that's falling apart on them. It's falling apart in many places. We saw it with Vivek Ramaswamy this weekend on CNN. Another beautiful moment. Dana Bash was the host on CNN. And she was pressing Vivek Ramaswamy about some comments he made about racist liberals. He's on the offensive. His skin color's brown. Not that it matters, but it does matter, I guess, in these things. And he's attacking liberals, calling them racist. One liberal in Congress said of Vivek Ramaswamy, we don't need another brown person running for office that doesn't really have the best interest of brown people at heart, meaning Ramaswamy. He punched back by saying that is the most racist thing you could ever say, that not understanding who and what I am, what I'm about, what my beliefs are, and simply identifying my skin color and saying I should think one way is the most racist thing anybody could say. Ramaswamy's on the attack. Liberals are racist. I believe they are racist. I believe most of the times they bring up race, it's racism. As Ramaswamy says, reverse racism is racism. I don't think there is reverse racism. There's only racism. And he makes excellent points. But he continued on. And they got into an entire discussion about Ramaswamy's the best at debunking all these liberal things, whether it's race. He got into it with the climate hoax is what he calls it, with Dana Bash. He says it's a hoax and a farce. Ramaswamy went to Twitter over the weekend and wrote on X, 40 years ago, they told us an ice age was imminent. Now they tell us that global warming is an existential threat to humanity. Which is it? Neither, says Ramaswamy. The climate change agenda is a hoax because it has nothing to do with the climate and everything to do with global equity. By letting China catch up to the United States, it's global equity. The same people who rail against carbon emissions in the U.S. don't say a peep about shifting those same emissions to China, while also opposing nuclear energy right here at home. It's a farce, and I won't hedge in saying so. So he made these comments, and Dana Bash is on with him, and I'll just play the clip because this is exactly how you combat the climate hoax.
If you don't want to cut fossil fuels, which you just said, you don't want to cut carbon emissions or promote clean energy, what would your policies be to slow things like droughts, like flooding, and other damage to our planet?
I think we should focus on adaptation and mastery of any change in the climate through technological advances powered by fossil fuels and other forms of energy. I have no opposition to
nuclear
energy.
What does that mean? Dana,
I do think it's a bit of a mystery. What does that mean is look at the quality of our buildings. Look at the quality of temperature controls. This is actually what has allowed human beings to die less of climate-related disasters today than before. And the reason I call the climate change agenda a hoax, Dana, is that it actually has nothing to do with the climate. This has to do with global equity. And the reason why is the same people who are opposed to carbon emissions are also among those who are most opposed to nuclear energy, the greatest form of carbon-free energy production known to mankind. This
so
doesn't
you,
make
you
sense unless you actually
energy?
Call this
is
out for what
your,
it is.
Is that
global
one of your
equity.
Remedies?
Absolutely. Oh,
okay.
I'm unapologetically pro-nuclear
so
energy.
Saying,
in fact, I've laid out a plan to get government regulation out of the way for nuclear energy.
Can I just quickly go back? So you're saying, like, build taller buildings and have better air conditioning and heating systems? That's your remedy for the climate crisis?
Well, there's a fuller totality of the way we use fossil fuels to live more advanced lives that protect us from all risks, not just climate-related risks, but all risks to humanity. Right now, most people who are dying actually of lack of access to energy at all, not because of the effects of climate change. The models that you described are, I think, badly fabricated. And if you want a good piece of evidence for this, remember in the 1970s, that's not that long ago, in the 1970s, the same expert class was warning of a global ice age if we didn't stop using fossil fuels. That same expert class is now warning of global warming. So I think it is a fatal conceit of false hubris. And the reality is we should focus on human flourishing, not carbon emissions. That's what we should measure.
So this is the playbook for conservatives. It's really about calling them out. It's about the issues. It's about sticking to the issues and the facts and putting them out there. And Ramaswamy did it brilliantly there. He said the same thing that I've been saying. How can we be creating this problem with cars, okay, when at one point where we live was all covered in ice? 2 million years ago, this was all ice. We didn't melt the ice. It's all just so silly. And they somehow the liberals get people to think these things even when our own eyes see differently. If you use any sort of deductive reasoning, you know that at one point, Hawaii was hot lava. North America was covered in ice. That the earth changes. That we can't control this. It is all just a wonder and a mystery. It's beautiful, in fact. But to think we can control it is foolish. Ramaswamy points that out. Oh, but the Dems will keep piling on. Many of them stepped up and said the Maui fires were caused by climate change. Oh, sure. Yeah, we're driving cars around in North America. That caused a fire in Maui. Sure. Okay, got it. I mean, honestly, of all places where you would say maybe climate change didn't affect something, wouldn't it be some tiny islands in the middle of the ocean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away from continents? Wouldn't that be the place that would have the cleanest air? The least emissions? All of those things? It's pretty obvious now, most people agree, that Hawaii Electric, the power company, was responsible for those fires. There's lawsuits filed against them already. There were some downed power lines that were active. They were live. They sparked. They caused some fire, and it spread like crazy because of high winds. This is a power company that had been focused the last few years not on upgrading their equipment, being safe, and developing power to the people of Maui. It was a company that was completely focused on green energy, finding new ways, doing things differently, instead of the proven ways that are effective and safe. That's what Hawaii Energy became. That's why nobody in the media is talking about what caused this devastating fire, as hundreds are still missing. It's awful, and it was not climate change. ABC News reported it wasn't climate change. They got hammered for that. People on the left went crazy, but it's pretty obvious climate change has nothing to do with the Maui fires. It was human mistakes, human error. And it was an unmitigated disaster. And simply the result of the type of stuff that we see on the left, that we see on the left over and over and over. KKHI is brought to you by the Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. My buddies Spencer and Steve over at Finch, you know, they come up with 6 or 7 new designs every single year. You want to see the latest and greatest Finch pocket knives? Log on to finchknifeco.com and check them out. The Flint series is out. They're 3-inch steel blades, satin finish, titanium clip. Beautiful. Love the Flint series of Finch knives. They also have the Hatfield and the McCoy series out. Beautiful knives. I love the Cherry Bomb. You can see them in person if you go to Shields in Overland Park, the Bullet Hole in Mission, or Teague Tractor in Belton. Online at finchknifeco.com. Keep life from getting dull with a Finch pocket knife. North Kansas City Dental. Dr. Bill Bush should be your new dentist. It's real simple. I was with a buddy yesterday. He goes, I hate going to the dentist. I don't go to the dentist. I said, you should go to my dentist. You'll like it. He'll talk about football. He'll talk a little politics if you like. Anything you like, he likes. Trust me. You've got it in common with Dr. Bill Bush. He's an award-winning dentist. He speaks all over the country about high-tech dentistry. And, of course, he's the dentist to the Chiefs players. If he's good enough for Mahomes, he's good enough for you. NKCDental.com. 816-471-2911 for all your dentistry needs. It's North Kansas City Dental. Amini's Galleria. This is Amini's. Right now, they've got a huge outdoor furniture sale going on with 72 months no interest financing. That's right. 0% is back at Amini's, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. It also counts toward pinball machines, golden tee, pool tables, shuffleboard, you name it. If it's for entertainment in your home, Amini's is there for you. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Amini's.com, also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. This is Amini's. All right, on to some football. And the Chiefs, in a wild game on Saturday, beat the Browns 33-32. It was sloppy. It was wild. Shane Buechele, in all likelihood, lost the backup job. Now there's some rumblings out there that the Chiefs may be talking to Carson Wentz, who's available, and bringing him in. Blaine Gabbert was terrific in the game. And he just, look, as media or fans or whatever, the only opportunity we really get, you could sit there and watch practice all day. The only chance we get is to evaluate watching these games. And, you know, this is not a make or break season for Blaine Gabbert in his career. He looks like he's going to be a career backup, make a lot of money. He can hang around for many more years. He's a capable NFL quarterback. But, man, he just came in the game and looked like the kind of guy that you're going to want if you need a capable backup. If Mahomes goes out for a series or a quarter or 3 games, he looked like the steady hand. Buechele made some nice moves. He gets out of trouble. He's got a little Mahomes to his game. But then he threw a stupid pass. He threw a pick 6. He threw another interception. Buechele was terrible. 8 out of 17, 2 interceptions. One of them to Juan Thornhill, the former Chief, for the pick 6. Gabbert, meanwhile, just plugged right along. He was terrific in the game. Brought the Chiefs back. They win the game. Doesn't matter if they win or lose. I get that part. And we're left here asking the question, what's going to happen with this roster? Tuesday's the day. Is it all for naught, or does it matter? We're going to find out, because there are three really interesting players that could all make the team or all get cut. Your guess is as good as mine. But what's the point of developing a roster, having players on the practice squad, and then asking them to perform, and they do perform at a very high level when given the opportunity, and then cutting them? The Chiefs clearly have a deep roster. The Chiefs are going to release players that play on other teams. There's no question about that. This is a very deep roster. They have more than 53 NFL players. What's interesting is the positions that we're looking at right now. The best running back in the preseason was LaMichael Perine, and it wasn't close. He busted about four tackles on Saturday and ran a touchdown in and looked terrific. He got to the edge and was faster than the defenders. Yes, second team defense. Maybe those weren't NFL starters that he was beating, but he showed that burst. He showed the ability to break tackles, and he was easily the Chiefs' best running back. What the Chiefs are still doing with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I don't know. He just hangs around on this roster. They don't really like him. They don't have the balls to cut him, or at least that's where they've been. Is this the time? Do they have the balls to just say goodbye to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and keep LaMichael Perine and say, we might go with this young guy. This guy might be good enough. He looks good enough to me, and he looks hungry as hell. He was terrific in the preseason. Wide receiver Amir Smith-Marset was the Chiefs' best receiver. Four catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown again on Saturday. In week two of the preseason, the advanced stat people at NFL.com, the advanced stat people, Amir Smith-Marset was the number one receiver in the NFL in week two of the preseason. The best. Any player, any team, anywhere in the league, he was the best. Then he backed it up with four for 101 and a touchdown. He's been easily the Chiefs' best receiver in the preseason. And they may cut him. I'll ask the question. He was a former, I think the Vikings drafted him in the fifth round out of Iowa. He was on the practice squad last year. He's done everything they've asked. He's worked and worked and worked, and he's producing, and he looks terrific. So you're just going to cut a guy like that? I don't know. You're going to keep seven receivers? Because I don't know how you let that guy go. When you've watched him play in the preseason, and I know it's the preseason, how do you let him go? There's a tight end by the name of Matt Bushman who's been terrific. He's just been outstanding. Doesn't look like he's going to make the roster. These are hard decisions for the Chiefs. There is a fear in the NFL, really in any professional sport, that you're going to cut somebody young and upcoming that becomes really good. I'll give you an example. The Royals traded for this Reagans, the big left-hander from the Rangers, at the trade deadline. And he's been the Royals' best pitcher since he came over. And you're looking at him, and he throws 100 miles an hour, and he's a left-hander, and he's big, and he's just mowing people down. You're like, how did the Rangers let this guy go? Okay, the Rangers are really good. They got a lot of good players, a lot of good pitching, a lot of this, a lot of that. So you look at it and go, well, that organization just has more players than you have. That's where the Chiefs are. They've just got more players than other teams. Rashee Rice is their draft choice. They draft the guy and supposedly love him, and they're standing by him. The guy can't catch the ball. They keep throwing it to him, and he just keeps dropping it. So because you drafted somebody and you thought more of them in acquiring them than you did Amir Smith-Marset, you keep a guy that's dropping balls right and left over someone who's just making plays? This is going to be really interesting. I'm very interested to see what the Chiefs do. And this year, it doesn't seem... In the past, it seems like the last few guys on the roster is kind of a frivolous thing. It's not to worry. Don't worry. When we're talking about running backs and wide receivers and tight ends here, this really matters. This is not your third string guard, right? It's not a special teams guy, although these players could play on special teams as well. This is interesting. This could be one of those things where you would never have, this time last year, you would have never thought, oh, Kadarius Toney's going to catch a touchdown in the Super Bowl and Chiefs are going to win the game. because he was on the Giants roster. That's how it works. You keep looking, you keep searching, you keep plugging and playing. You have to get younger, you have to get cheaper. Those are all things that you do in the NFL. The Chiefs seem to be doing that, and these three guys have me really, I'm going to be really fascinated to see if they keep any or all of these three players. Totally fascinated. On the Kadarius Toney front, Andy Reid has said, it's basically game week now. The Chiefs play a week from Thursday, so this is essentially game week. They're going to cut these players on Tuesday. It's over. They come back to work, and it's on. They're getting ready for the Lions. They're going to put prep in for Jacksonville and the first four opponents. They're going to start in on all of it. So it's on. The good news is Kadarius Toney is listed as day-to-day. The bad news is the Chiefs have had, in the past, players that they list day-to-day that would still be out a month listed day-to-day. So I'm not sure I know exactly what that means, but that has to be good news with Kadarius Toney that he's day-to-day. On Saturday, the Chiefs didn't play Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Nick Bolton, and some other starters. They rested them all. That was advisable and good. They're relatively healthy, ready to go, and it's going to be a fun, fun football season. We'll talk a little college football, brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, online at fryorthodontics.com. Have you seen this TV commercial with the giant caricature, the mascot running teeth through the field? It's pretty good. It played during the Chiefs game on Saturday several times. It's a really, really effective TV spot. But it is also in the spirit of, you know, when you go to the orthodontist, you don't really think of, this is my favorite day. I'm going to the ortho. No, you don't really think like that. But Fry Orthodontics works really hard to make your experience fun, to make it positive, to put you in a good mood from the second you arrive until the moment you leave. That's what they're all about at Fry Orthodontics. It really matters. It's really different. You can call it a conservative touch if you want. It is what it is. They're the best at what they do. FryOrthodontics.com. The new car image from Belton to Lawrence. They'll come to you. Detail your car while you're at work or to your house, wherever. They'd love to shine up your ride like it's never been shined before. Brad and his team are absolute freaks on how cars should look. They'll do it all, man. They will do it all. TheNewCarImage.com. TheNewCarImage.com. Call Brad at 816-499-1470. That's 816-499-1470. They'll handle everything with your car if you want them to, or your fleet for your office, including DMV services and whatnot. They'll do it all. It's your personal concierge. Keep your car looking and running its best. TheNewCarImage.com. 15% off through the month of August by mentioning the podcast or using the promo code at their website. The promo code is KKHI at TheNewCarImage.com. And Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs is ready to work with you on your next new ride. I saw the coolest brand new Chevy Colorado this weekend. It was white with black wheels. It was the Trail Boss thing. It was so tricked out and loaded. It is a gorgeous new truck. The Chevy Colorado and the GMC Canyon are all new mid-size trucks. Order yours today with Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. Or if you're looking for that big work truck, there's nothing like a Chevy Silverado or GMC Sierra. It's all right there for you. RobertsRobinson.com is the way to go, or visit them in Excelsior Springs. And our friends at Advanced Medical Imaging just do great work for you. When you need an MRI or a CT scan, why wait? I had a guy email me and said he had to wait 6 weeks to get his MRI. 6 weeks? Man, if somebody's ordering an MRI or a CT scan for you, you've got an issue. And you need that scan now. Advanced Medical Imaging will do it, and they'll take your insurance. Advanced Medical Imaging is online at medimageks.com or call 785-856-0224. We're due here in about a month or so for a new heart scan. We're going to do that every year. It's under $100. It's out of pocket. Get your plaque score. Find out if your ticker is clean at Advanced Medical Imaging, online at medimageks.com. College football is on, and boy, do we have a great start to the year. This is going to be so cool. We get Missouri playing on Thursday, Kansas playing on Friday, K-State on Saturday. So I know not all of you are a fan of one of those teams, but most of you are a fan of one of those teams. And we just get to veg out 3 nights in a row and watch. Mizzou's on SEC Network. KU and K-State are on ESPN Plus, if you have that. And it's going to be exciting to see the start of the year. Eli Drinkwitz said a Missouri start. He was asked about how he's going to use his quarterbacks. And he said, well, this is the art of suspense, is what he's calling it. He said, we're going to play multiple quarterbacks in the game. But he didn't say who, how, or what. It's the art of suspense. We're not giving anything away to our opponent, South Dakota. We don't want to give away too much to South Dakota. Brady Cook, Sam Horn seem to be in line for maybe a half each in this game. Missouri should roll in this game. And I'm excited to see it. The new wrinkles, the new playbook, and what old Mizzou looks like. I'm just excited for football, period. This is a big year for Eli Drinkwitz. Does Missouri take a step? Become an 8-4, 9-3 kind of team? Do they hang around in the 6-6 range? What is Ole Mizzou? It's a big year for Eli Drinkwitz. It's the same thing at KU. This is year three for Lance Leipold, and my goodness, what progress they made last year. Is Kansas about to become a team that's legit? Like maybe a top 25, top 30 kind of team that goes out and wins 8-9, dare I say it, 10 games? They've got the easiest schedule you've ever seen. They've got the easy schedule. Kansas does. So that is great. Daniel Hyshaw's back. Everybody's talking about Jalen Daniels and his back issues that he's had and not a full participant in practice throughout fall camp. They've got Bean, the backup quarterback. Kansas is now at a place where they don't really lose much. Their backup quarterback is so good and experienced that there's not a lot of drop-off. Yes, Jalen Daniels is a human highlight film, a freakish athlete, and you want him on the field. But Bean is awesome. They'll be fine either way. They're going to score a million points on Friday night. I can promise you that. This offense is going to hum. Not a lot of people are talking about David Hyshaw and what a big difference this could make. The dude was on a tear last year when he injured his hip against Iowa State. He is back. And get this stat. You want to know one thing about Kansas this year? Because they were good last year. They slid at the end. They didn't cross the finish line. Their quarterback got hurt. Their running back was out. They had problems. After their big start, they had problems. And they just flat started playing better teams that were able to beat them. This will come quickly for Kansas. They play Missouri State on Friday, but the following Friday they get Illinois. That's a real test. It's a Big Ten team. That's a real test. But get this stat on KU. Their production, that's quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, tight ends. Their production, they return 85% of last year's production. That is number two in America. So they have the second most returning offensive weapons of any team in the country. That's big. That's continuity. And I think it's going to show, and it's going to show early, and I think KU is going to score a million points. I think they're hanging 50-something on the board Friday night. I would be really surprised if they don't. Should be up and down the field. K-State on Saturday opens up its defense as Big 12 champions against Southeast Missouri. Then K-State gets a very good Troy team, and then Missouri. That'll be fun. Week three is K-State at Missouri. We're going to learn a lot about those two teams as they're playing each other. Kansas State obviously returning Will Howard. I can't say enough about Will Howard and what his play at quarterback did for Kansas State last year when he became the starter halfway through the season. It changed everything. It just changed everything. And all accounts now are he's even better this year than last. This is a pro quarterback. He's going to be on an NFL roster. He's 6'5". He's strapping. He's big. He's a good player. He really sees the field well. And while he doesn't have a cannon for an arm, it's accurate and it seems to be enough. It's a little bit like if you think of quarterbacks like Joe Montana or Peyton Manning. Now, I'm not comparing him to those. But neither of those guys had what you would call a rifle, a gun. They weren't Elway or Marino or Mahomes. That's Will Howard. He does it between the ears, man. He really sees the field beautifully. And look for Kansas State's passing game to be something else this year. It looks like they're going to be right there. There's buzzing words this weekend about the Big 12 expanding to have two more schools that Cal and Stanford won in, which would take the Big 12 to 18. If you're going to do that, you might as well just go all the way to 20 or 24 because 18 makes no sense at all. And the realignment thing is just kind of becoming comical now. It looks like it's just going to be tearing apart of the Pac-12 and the expansion of other leagues, and we're just going to have fewer leagues, is what it looks like. I don't think that's a great idea. I don't think Cal and Stanford in the Big 12 is a very good idea. I like where it is. I like the 16. If the Big 12 is going to do that, you might as well go all the way to 24 at that point. And then what do you have? You basically have two conferences, right? You'd have two divisions of 12. It'd be like two conferences. Is that what you'd have? I don't know. Most of this stuff doesn't make sense. I don't really believe the report. I can't imagine that the Big 12 is really interested in Cal and Stanford. I'm not sure what that brings. They don't get big TV ratings. They don't fit with the other schools in the league. They're exceedingly liberal. They are. Both of them. University of Texas is in Austin, which is a liberal city in the heart of a conservative state. But their football program, certainly, I think most of the people around the football program are kind of like-minded like us. They have put T-shirts out. This is awesome. This is the perfect story for this podcast. Sarkisian, the coach, made T-shirts. He's talked to his team. We saw Brett Yormark last week, the commissioner of the Big 12, basically challenging Texas Tech to beat Texas in Austin. He said, I'll be there on Thanksgiving. Go do your work and beat them because Texas is leaving. So nobody likes Texas. Nobody likes Oklahoma in the Big 12. At Texas, Sarkisian has turned it into a battle cry for his team. He made T-shirts for them and a slogan this year. The Texas football slogan this year is embrace the hate. They're now selling these T-shirts. And the liberals in Austin have lost their freaking minds. They think it's racist. Huh? A T-shirt that says embrace the hate because you're leaving the Big 12. The liberals in Austin are losing their mind because they say it's racist. Look, I'm not even going there. I don't know what the rationale is for that. I can't think of any reason that's racist. I don't get any of that. I'm just letting you know what's happening. They may pull them back and destroy them. Let's see what Texas does. Do they get rid of those shirts? Do they stick with it? Is it their slogan? Is it not their slogan? What happens in a liberal place like Austin when a football coach comes up with, it's not even brilliant, but it's simple, but it works. It works with the kids. Embrace the hate. Let them hate you. Us against the world. That always works in college. Us. I mean, my God, the Chiefs were saying this crap last year. Nobody believes in us. I'm like, really? You've been to three of the last four Super Bowls. You've won two of them. Nobody believes in you? The Chiefs found a way somehow last year to believe that nobody thought they could win the Super Bowl. I never met one person that didn't think they could win the Super Bowl. And I don't know one person this year that would be surprised if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. But somehow they found a way that, oh, nobody thinks we're good enough. Hey, man, that's powerful in sports. They're doing it at Texas with T-shirts that say embrace the hate. Embrace the hate. And the liberals are saying it's racist. Good God. In golf, the Tour Championship was this weekend. Victor Hovland is your PGA Tour champion. They have playoffs. They were down to 30 players. And then they play this last event. Victor Hovland's the hottest golfer in the world right now, and it's not close. He played at Oklahoma State, but he's from Sweden. By winning this tournament and being the FedEx Cup champion, $18 million. He won by 5 shots. He finished 27 under. The dude is on fire. Victor Hovland is widely regarded as the best iron player in the world. He hits the ball. Him and Scottie Scheffler hit the ball closer to the hole, hole by hole by hole, than anybody else. They give themselves more chances at birdies. But he hasn't been a great putter to this point. But he's found something. He's making everything. He wins a couple weeks in a row. And we're kind of in an era in golf now where seemingly every year somebody bursts in and is the top player for about a year. Scottie Scheffler was that guy, but his putter's lost him now. So he's not really that guy right now. He's still playing very well, but he's not making any putts. And so much of it has to do with your putting. This game really is, they hit at 350 yards. They hit crisp iron shots, but really the hottest putters win every week. If you're just making everything, you're going to win. And whether it lasts for Hovland, I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to confuse him with being a great putter. That's not what he's known for. But boy, he's a great putter right now. And when he's putting, he's the best player in the world. And he's got 18 million reasons to celebrate the way his putter is rolling right now. Big time win for Victor Hovland. Our final is brought to you by Great Life Golf. You should play more golf at Great Life. They've got multiple public courses around town that you can play, or you can join one of their membership courses like Staley Farms, Prairie Highlands, Falcon Ridge, Tallgrass in Wichita, or Canyon Farms, my home course in Lenexa. Just log on to greatlifegolf.com and see about all their courses. There are now 58 Great Life Golf courses, including Hilton Head, Florida, North Carolina, Georgia. If you're a member here, you get big discounts and playing advantages at the other clubs if you travel. If you like going to Hilton Head or Florida or North Carolina and Georgia on business or for leisure, you'd be like your home course away from home. GreatLifeGolf.com. GreatLifeGolf.com. And MyPillow, our friend Mike Lindell and all the good folks over at MyPillow offer the MyPillow 2.0 now. New and improved, it is just cooler. It's cooler to the touch. It's cooler to the sleep than the original MyPillow. I love MyPillow 2.0, and you can love it as well. You can call 800-923-9034 and order yours today, or log on to MyPillow.com and use the promo code KKHI. Anything you buy at mystore.com or mypillow.com, use the promo code KKHI. It is the maximum discount they have. There is no other discount bigger than the KKHI one. So use your promo code at mypillow.com and mystore.com today. Our final is a sad story. Do you remember in 2008 when Obama was on the campaign trail and he was confronted by Joe the Plumber? And Joe the Plumber says, hey, you're wanting to raise my taxes. This is going to be good for me or my business. And we thought at that moment that this was a big enough story that America would get it and go, I mean, this was one of the first signs that the working class was turning on the Democrats. Really, it's been 15 years in the making. That was 15 years ago. The entire working class has flipped. It's very conservative now. But Joe the Plumber confronted Obama that day. At that time, he was 34 years old, a young man, a plumber, asking a presidential candidate, why in the world should I vote for you when you're going to hammer me with more taxes and cost me and my livelihood money? It was really a pivotal moment, but it didn't stop Obama from winning. Joe the Plumber died this week, 49 years old, pancreatic cancer. It's a sad story. He leaves behind a wife and three kids. And by all accounts, he is a wonderful person, was a great friend, and an awesome dad. And clearly, he was among us. Great conservative American. Joe the Plumber dies at age 49. Didn't mean to bring you down, but I would remember Joe the Plumber for what he did and who he was. I think that's the best way to say it. If we can leave our mark in some small way, as he did, it was a life well lived. So way to go, Joe. Don't forget to hit the like, follow, or subscribe button of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. I saw so many people at Turnpike Troubadours on Saturday night and Avett Brothers out at Sandstone. It will always be Sandstone to me. That just walked up and said they love it. I had some other people still, happens all the time. Hey, how are you? What are you doing these days? I took like 25 business cards. I know that's old school. Whenever I go out like that, I take them with me. I was just handing them out right and left. Listen to this. You'll love it. I mean, everybody there loved Trump. Right? The whole concert was like a MAGA rally. It's basically what the Turnpike Troubadours concerts are. It was just awesome. And so many wonderful people. Just amazing. Just amazing. It's so cool to be around great Americans and great patriots and just awesome, fun, friendly, nice people. And we are loaded with those kinds of people here in the Midwest, and I love it. So thank you if I ran into you. Good to see you over the weekend. And many of you, we grab your phones, you hit your little purple icon on there on your iPhone that says Apple Podcasts. If you hit that and you type my name in there, it pops right up on your Apple Podcast. You can hit like, follow, or subscribe. It's absolutely free. We'd love to have you on board at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. to get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.